Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Nun. We are holding on daf Mem Tesam Beis. We are at Ibailuhu Hilchos HaKavasei, Oles Hilchos HaKavasei. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lizeich Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. It is also sponsored by Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, Lizeich Nishmas, Henry's father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, the only survivor of his family of 10 children, who volunteered to fight in Israel in 1948 and then rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos with Emunah Pshuta. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to close up the matter of halacha that we were talking about yesterday, and that is whether we paskin like Rabbi Eliyah, that if a person gives all of his nechasim to his children while he's alive, whether he and his wife, in fact, can continue to receive mizonos from those nechasim. Then the Gemara is going to move on to the third takana susha, and that is the takana of amivazvez al yivazvez yosemi chomesh, that a person is not supposed to spend more than 20% of his money on a given mitzvah. Then we're going to move on to the fourth takanas usha, which relates to how much pressure to put on a child to learn, at what age you start pressuring a child, at what age we go a little bit easier on the child in encouraging him to learn. And then we're going to move on to the fifth takanas usha, that if a woman sells her nichsei melug and then she dies, what happens to those nichsei melug? Then the Gemara is just going to talk about in yanim that relate to tzedakah and a few drushos from Pesukim and Tehillim, and then on Amud Beis the Gemara is going to compare once again the takana of banos to the takana of banim, because we've already made such a comparison where we had said that just like the banim are only yoresh after misa sa'av, the daughters are also only nizones after misa sa'av. There's no chiv to give mizonos to one's daughters while the father is still alive. So that was one comparison that we had. The Gemara is going to explore another comparison between takanas banim to takanas banos, and then the Gemara is going to get into the idea of supporting banos from metaltalin, whether we use the metaltalin of the father to support the banos as well. So let's begin. So the Gemara raises the question, one, two, three, five lines from the bottom of the page. Do we paskin like Rabbi Eliyah that if a person gives all of his nechasim to his children while he's alive, that he and his wife can get mizonos from that nechasim throughout their lifetime or not? So says the Gemara, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya. Rabbi Chanin of Rabbi Yonasan of Akaimi, Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Yonasan were standing together. Asu gavra gochin v'nashke the Rabbi Yonasan akare. And all of a sudden, a guy comes over and he bends over and he kisses Rabbi Yonasan on his feet. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, my hi. Rabbi Chanina says, does this happen to you often? What is going on over here? So Amalei, so Rabbi Yonasan says, kosev nechasav lebanavu, that this is a guy who had given all of his property to his children, vasasin lezane, and I forced his children, then now they have to give him mizonos. So because I went l'frim yishur sadin in seeing to it that he's taken care of, he's showing me extra love. So says Gemara, well, iyan bishlama lav dina mishamach yasyenu. I understand very well if it is not a requirement, if it's not the actual din that they have to give him the mizonos, so that's why he had to force the children l'fnim yishur sadin, and that's why this person was so grateful to Rabbi Yonasan for doing that, for making sure that he was taken care of. Eliyam redina asiyinu bayi. But if it was a din, why would he have to force? Why would he have to force them? It's min adin. If they're not listening to a din, so the Beis Din should force them, and he has to do the proper judgment. So from the there you see that lahalacha we don't hold like Rabbi Eloi, and in fact if someone is kosev kol nechas of lebanav, they're zochim legamri, the children own all that property and the father and the mother do not get mizonos from the children. That's how the Ramban and the Ra'a write that maskana, the woman also does not get the mizonos from a matnas chayim that the father had given to the children, because the chacham were misakin that an almana gets from the husband, but they were never misakin that during the lifetime the almana is going to get from the children. However, the Mordechai paskins that it's only by the man that we're saying that he doesn't have a zuchus in the nechasim, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eloi. But as far as the woman is concerned, she for sure gets to be supported from those nechasim, because those nechasim are meshuba to her ksuba. So that's machlokas rishonim. To what extent do we not paskin like that statement of Rabbi Loi? Do we not paskin both legabe the man and the woman, or do we not paskin only legabe the man, but we do in fact legabe the woman? So now we move on to the third takanas usha, and undoubtedly, I think the most famous of all the takanas usha. Amar Rabbi Loi buusha hiskinu hamavazves al yavazves yoser michomesh, that a person is going to spend money on giving tzedakah, he should not give more than 20% of his money to aniyim, in order that he shouldn't, in the end, as we're going to soon see, have to collect money himself. Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi that the first time a person, the first time he's ever giving tzedakah, he should give 1/5 of all of his nechasim, and then each year, as he makes more money, whatever he has in the profit, whatever profits he makes, he has to give 1/5 of that. Meaning, if a person started the year with with $1 million and he gave $200,000 for tzedakah, and then the next year he makes another $200,000, he doesn't have to give another $200,000 in tzedakah. The first $800,000 were already covered from what he had previously, so he doesn't have to keep on giving on the old money that he's already given on. It's like Trumas HaMaisos in that regard. It's only on the profits that he makes. That's what the Ran writes as well in the Hafla. He says, why by Maaser Dagan do you have to be Maaser from all of the Gidulim that came in that year, and we don't subtract from the Cheshbon of Maaser the Zroitim themselves, even though they're from the Keren and not from the Revach? So they discuss that issue. But bottom line is, in our Gemara, it seems very clear, Hamavazis al Yivazis Yosem Michomesh, meaning that 20% is ideal, more than that is Aser. But not that 20% is required, it's just that 20% is really wonderful. And that's why we paskin Shulchan Aruch in Yardeyas and Reish Mem Tes, mitzvah min amuvchar, if a person gives 20% of his money to tzedakah. However, the Yerushalmi in the first part of Maseches Peah has a different lashon. It says, "Buusha nimnu sheyada mafresh chomesh minachas of the mitzvah." That they determined that that's what one must do. That it's not just a mitzvah min amuvchar, but the Yerushalmi's version is that one is required to give 20% for a mitzvah. So the Meiri writes that amid the bainness for tzedakah is might mean the average, and what every Jew should do, what's expected, is that every Jew should give meiser of his money, should give 10% of his money for tzedakah each year. If someone wants to be mevazvez and to be maktish biyoser, so then al yevazvez yoser mechamish. Like the Bavli, not like the Yerushalmi. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos in Maseches Peah says that there's a chiyuv to give ad chomesh nechasov, which sounds much more like the Yerushalmi. In the Sefer Avas Chesed, he has a whole discussion about this and how the Rambam, or why the Rambam would be much more like the Yerushalmi and less like the Bavli. You would expect the Rambam to paskin like the Bavli. The Ran in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph writes, v'zeteima heich nosnu kitzva l'mitzvah overes. How could they set a set amount that you don't spend more than for a mitzvah overus, for a mitzvah that's here today, gone tomorrow? You're not going to be able to do the mitzvah if you're not going to spend more than chomesh nechasov sometimes. So he says, v'kasva raivit k'dei shelo yavu lidei oni v'yapel atzmo l'tzibur, that there's a value judgment. There's the value of the mitzvah versus the value of remaining independent, to be able to support yourself and not having to rely on the tzibur to pay off your debts because you were because you decided to spend. And to spend money in a certain way, so there's that value as well. So it's similar to asei Shabbat chachol v'al titzarich lebrios. That yes, there's a mitzvah to have three sudas on Shabbos, but if having that third sudas is going to mean that you're going to have to even titzarich lebrios, so then you have two sudas on Shabbos because oni is like misa, and it's therefore considered a quasi pikuach nefesh. In the Pischei Tshuva in Yeridaya, he quotes from Sefer Chomas Yerushalayim that if a person is mevazveis kol ma'usav, then he's not going to be able to do any more mitzvos. Meaning, it's similar to the concept that we have in Maseches Shabbos, that mutav yichal Shabbos achas v'al yichal Shabbos osarbe. That yes, you're making a sacrifice now for the future, so that you'll be able to live and to be able to observe more mitzvos in the future. Okay, so says Gemara Tani Namiachi, we have a brisa that supports this idea. Hamavazis ali vazis osim mechomesh shema yitzarich lebrios, because there's a concern that the person is then going to need to collect tzedakah from others. Umaisa bechad shebikish levazis osim mechomesh. And one time there was a person who wanted to spend more than 20% of his money in tzedakah. V'lo iniach lo chavero, and his friend didn't allow him. Umanu, and who was that chaver? Rabbi Yeshevav. V'amilan. Some say Rabbi Yeshiva, v'lo hinichu chaveru, amanu Rabbi Akiva, that it was Rabbi Yeshiva who actually wanted to spend more than 20% of his money in tzedakah, and Rabbi Akiva was his chaver who would not allow him to do that. The Meiri points out that that's only when a person is alive. There are gemaras, we're going to see a gemara later in the Samach Zayin, that imply that when a person is leaving his money for Yerusha, so you should leave some Yerusha for the children, but there's no requirement to limit the tzedakah that you leave to only 20%, because the whole concern of 20% is shamit starich lebrios, that you might then have to rely on other people to support you. Well, when a person is dead, he's not going to have to rely on anyone to support him, and therefore that same limitation is not going to apply after Misa. So since this is a takana midrabanan, the reason it really matters, meaning the idea of shamit yaniv starich lebrios, will actually affect, will impact the rules governing this takana. And that's why, for example, the poskim point out, I think Chavetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed, that if a person is an usher muflag, if a person is exceptionally wealthy, he's got billions and billions of dollars, so he's allowed to spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah, because he's not at risk of ye'ani v'yitztarich lebrios. So there, if some super rich people, they can give 90% of their money to tzedakah, and they're still not going to be at risk of being ye'ani v'yitztarich lebrios. Of course, we always point out, you have to know how to define what is called an usher muflag. Rav Shechter has told us on several occasions that he gives close to 50% of his money for tzedakah. So we've asked him, but that's against the halacha. They made a takana susha that you're not allowed to do it. He said, no, the poskim say that an usher muflag, a person who has more than they need, that's how he defines an usher muflag, a person who has more than they need is allowed to give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. I don't think that's the popularly accepted understanding of it, but that's certainly the way he understands it. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Nachman v'itema Rav Acha bar Yaakov Mikra. What's the pasuk that teaches us that 20% is a magic number? Pasuk says v'kala shatitin li aser asrenu lach. So the double lashon of aser and asrenu tells me 10% plus 10%. Maram Shif points out, it's a little bit of a funny question. Mikra, we weren't shy about where this came from. We were not pretending that this is a din d'oraisa. We said it's a takanas usha. So what kind of question, mikra? What's the pasuk? There is no pasuk. It's a takanas usha. So Maram Shif explains that they were misakein not to give more than a chomesh, but that it's ro'i to give a chomesh was something that was yadua already to the chachamim. The takana was that everyone knows you're supposed to spend the chomesh, but don't do more than that. Takana was don't do more than that, but apparently they already knew that you were supposed to give a chomesh. So that's what we were asking, Mikra, what's the pasuk that gave them that bit of information as well? Shidim Gretzis points out, it's interesting, there is no remez to the pasuk of 20%. The remez is aser asren, 10% plus 10%, which causes us problems, because the Gemara's very next question, the next line, volo dami yisura basil yisura kama, that's not really 20%, because if you start with $100 and you give 10% of that, you will have given $10. If you then give 10% of what you have remaining, you will give $9, so it will turn out to be 19% and not 20%. So how can you call it 20%? So I'm Ravashi, aser lebasu ki kama. From the fact that it doesn't say aser lecha, it says aser asrenu, and the asrenu is going on the first meiser, so it tells me that the second meiser should be like the first meiser. So it's unnecessarily confusing, right? Why couldn't the Chumash just give me a rena somewhere that tells me 20%? Why does it have to say it in a double lashon of aser asrenu? So Shindu Gvetza says that it's telling us a din in Hilchot Tzedakah. Well, what the Rambam writes in the third parak of Pirkei Avos in the Pirush HaMishnayis, that it's when a person is giving tzedakah, it's much better to give the tzedakah several times than to give all the tzedakah at once. So the Chumash Dafka wanted to be merames in stages, that you're giving your tzedakah in stages, because it's much better to give in stages than to give once. That's what the Rambam writes on the Mishnah, Hakalafi Rov HaMa'aseh. He says, it doesn't say Hakalafi Godel HaMa'aseh, that everything is determined based on how big of an act of tzedakah you do, but rather Hakalafi Rov HaMa'aseh, that it's better to habituate yourself to be giving tzedakah, so you give several times to different people, even though maybe you could make a greater impact if you packaged all of your tzedakah together and gave as one big gift to tzedakah. That's one of the rayas Rav Yosef Engel has, a long piece in Lekach Tov, whether we value quantity over quality or quality over quantity when it comes to kumei mitzvos and violating Yisurim. So he says from the Rambam, you get the impression that even though it's a greater quality mitzvah to give a greater amount to tzedakah, but greater quantity to pile up the mitzvos, to do many mitzvos, even if they're smaller mitzvos, by giving tzedakah many times, maybe that's of greater value. Not necessarily a raya, because in that particular case, it's a person trying to build a new nature. People by nature tend to want to keep everything for themselves. So you're trying to be shover that nature. So in order to do that, it needs a lot of practice. A person has to get in the practice of giving away money. So it could be that that's unique to the mitzvah of tzedakah. So now the Gemara says, now that we've had three takanos usha, so now we'll come up, it's a little bit interesting, because we're right in the middle. We're going to have two more takanos usha. But at this point, the Gemara pauses to say, let's see, how do we easily remember the three takanos usha that we've had to this point? So Amrav Sim Barashi, Ushmos Halalu, Mismatos Valchos. First of all, note that who we're quoting that said the takanos usha, the names go down in number. That the first takanos usha was said in the name of Reish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Second one was in the name of Reish Lakish without Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. And the third one was Rabbi Eloi himself. So first you had Rabbi Eloi, B'Shem Reish Lakish, B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, then Rabbi Eloi, and then the name Reish Lakish, and then just Rabbi Eloi. So the list of names prior to the statement of the Takana becomes smaller and smaller each time. And the way to remember the order of these halachos, to know which set of Amoraim to attach to each halacha, is Ketanim Kasvu Ubizbizu. Ketanim is a reference to that a person has to provide mizonos to his children when they are Ketanim. Kasvu is that if a person is Kosev Kol Nechas of Lebanov, that he and his wife can still get mizonos from that Nechasim. And Ubizbizu is Hamavazvez Alivazvez Yoser Michomesh. So when you put those two together, if you remember that it goes from three names to two names to one name, and you remember the phrase Ketanim Kisvu Ubizbizu, you'll remember which Takana was taught by who. Which one had three names, which one had two names, which one had the one name. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bu'usha Eskinu, but let me tell you a fourth Takana Zusha. Shei Adam Eskalgel, that a person should speak softly and try to encourage his son to learn if he's refusing to learn until he's 12 years old. Once he reaches the age of 12, you should go after his life. You start hitting him with a ritzua. You stop feeding him until he learns. You know, no lunch until you learn today. You use much harsher measures in order to convince the child to learn. The Marsha writes, Yoridim Olachayev, from the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Lamed, ki hu chayecha, that is the chayim, yoridimo, in order to provide him with the chayim. And if he's unable to learn, then he says yoridimo lechayiv, you start teaching him an umnus, you start teaching him a livelihood, that if he's not going to have ki hu chayecha varechemecha, so they have through the Torah, because he's just not doing it. So at a certain point you say, okay, now it's time to lamda umnus to make sure that he has a livelihood. So it says, Eini, is that really so that up until 12 you sort of leave him alone and you go soft? Vamerle Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a Malami Tinokos, Batzimri Bar Shis, when a child is less than 6 years old, Lo Takbil, he's not going to be ready to learn Torah. Bar Shis, when he's 6 years old, Kabil, then he'll be ready to learn Torah, V'safi Le'Keturah, and you should stuff him like an ox. Just like an ox gets overfed, you stuff his face with food. But apparently, even before the age of 12, you're allowed to start stuffing him like an ox. That doesn't sound like a pleasant way to learn. It doesn't sound like you're going soft when you're stuffing him like an ox. The Ritva writes that when we say six, it means the beginning of the sixth year, which means when a child turns 5 years old, it doesn't mean when a child turns 6 years old. He says, how do I know that? Because it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos and the fifth part of Pirkei Avos says, Ben Chamesh Lemikra. So why is he telling me Ben Chamesh Lemikra? Before the age of five, what happens? Before the age of five, you know, you sing songs and you, you know, things like that. Ben Chamesh, that's when you really start teaching him. So how come over here it says Bar Shis? That's when he's ready to be Mekabel? Because the numbering system we're using is different, but they both mean on a child's fifth birthday, when he now enters his sixth year of life. The Rashba says, no, six means 6 years. That when he's 6 years old, that until six full years, he's not going to really want to learn. When it says Ben Chamesh, that's Aviv Malamdo Mikra. Over here, we're talking to the Malami Tinokos to accept from anyone else but the father. That's going to take an extra year. That's going to take till he's six. When he's five, he'll listen to the father. So it says we're in. So, but anyway, the Gemara's question was, how can you tell me that up until 12, you sort of leave him alone and you go easy on him? Don't you see over here that the Malami Tinokos was told up until six, but after six, Safi Le Ketura. So it says we're in. Safi Le Ketura. Miu Eino Yoridim El Chayev. You stuff him like an ox when he's 6 years old, but you don't physically punish him. You don't withhold food from him. Safi Le Ketura means that you pile on the information. Children at a young age are sponges. They can absorb lots and lots and lots of information. Sometimes people try at a young age, they start teaching children higher orders of thinking. They're not ready for that, but what they are ready for is just a lot of information. And as the brain develops, then the brain is that's why Chazal were very careful. Ben Chamesh Lemikra, Ben Esra Lemishnah, Ben Chamesh Esra LeTalmud. Talmud is when your person really fully activates his brain. The brain is not ready for that until someone is 15 years old. So obviously, you can't just open a Gemara for the first time when you're 15, because you're not even going to know what the words mean. You're not going to know what a Tana is, what an Amora is. So that's basically what Gemara education is up until 15, is just telling us the rules and just knowing what a Mishnah is and what a Tosefta is and what a Gemara is. But really learning Gemara, to actually analyze a Gemara, that doesn't happen before the age of 15. Rav Shechter often says that he was in Rav Soloveitchik's shir when he was 16. He said, probably if I would have gone when I was 14, I wouldn't have understood anything. He said, because Ben Chamesh Esrei, the Talmud. Many of the boys that went when they were 20 or 25 didn't understand anything. But the brain is fully opened up when a child is 15 years old. So Eino Yorim Aluchayev Ad Achashtem Eseshana. You're not Yorim Aluchayev until he's 12 years old. Viba Yisema. Another possibility is Lokasha. Ha Lemikra and Ha Lemishnah. That when Rav Shmuel Barshila said that even from 6 years old you start stuffing him, that's for Mikra. When Rav Yitzchak was Mesakin Inusha, not to do anything until he's bother him until he's 12 years old, that's talking about for Mishnah, which is a little bit odd because previously we were able to deal with the discrepancy in age between the Mishnah and our Gemara by saying, oh, we're counting differently, right? 5 and 6. Ben Chamesh Lemikra means when he turns 5 years old, and maybe when we say he's 6 years old, we mean in the sixth year when he's 5 years old. But now we have a 2-year discrepancy, right? Now we're saying that 12 years old is when you're Yoridim Aluchayev, but the Mishnah says, Ben Eser the Mishnah. It does not say. Ben Shtemesrei the Mishnah. So that becomes a little bit difficult to reconcile. So it says Mar Damar Abayi Armeli Aim. Abayi says that the woman who raised and taught him Bar Shis the Mikra. That when a child is 6 years old, he has to learn Mikra. Bar Eser when he's 10 years old, the Mishnah. Bar Tleisar when he's 13 years old, Litanisa Me Es LaEs. Then you fast Yom Kippur a full day. Ubitinokas Bas Tresar. And a girl when she's 12 years old. So now it really now Halacha Lemaisa, aside from Chinuch, we assume okay the schools will figure out at what age to teach what to the children. But there's another very relevant Halacha Lemaisa issue over here, and that is at what age should a child start fasting? So what numbers are we using when we say 12? When we say 13, do we mean in the 12th year? In the 13th year, or do we mean no, when the child is 12 years old? So this is a machlokas Rishonim over here. Some of the Rishonim machlokas Achronim, at least some of the Rishonim and Achronim say that 12 means and 13 means what we call 12 and 13. When the child is a girl is 12 years old, bas mitzvah, boy is 13 years old, bar mitzvah, and we're saying that's the only time that he really has to fully fast, that they have a real obligation. Whereas others understand that no, it means into the 12th year, into the 13th year, that the obligation of chinuch for fasting in particular, we're not mechanic little children to fast. It's unhealthy. Little children need to eat. So the chinuch for fasting is in that last year before the bar bas mitzvah. That they should fast on that Yom Kippur. Now that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if a child is strong and a robust kind of child, so then 2 years, 2 Yom Kippurs before their bar bas mitzvah, that's the ideal time for them to fast. The other fast days, not at all, but Yom Kippurs, 2 years before their bar bas mitzvah. And if they're a little bit weaker constitution, then 1 year before their bar bas mitzvah, 1 Yom Kippur before their bar bas mitzvah. So Amar Abayi Amar Li Aim. Once we're on the topic of advice that Abayi got from Aim, so he tells us, Hai Bar Shis, If you have a six-year-old, Titarkale Akraba, who was bitten by an akrav, so biyom de mishlam shis, on his sixth birthday, lo chai, he's not going to be able to live without you doing a refuah immediately. So mayasu say, what is the refuah that you're supposed to do? So merirta de dayachivarta, you take the mara of a certain type of bird, bishikra, and you mix it with beer, nishafya, and you rub it on the wound, nishake, and you give him to drink from that beer medicine mixture. Hai bar shata ditarkle ziburen, if he's stung by a bee or a wasp or something, biyomad the mishlam shata, on the day that he turns 1 year old, lo chai, he's also not going to live. It's particularly dangerous. So mayasu say, what's the only refuah you can do? At safsa didikla b'mayu, you take the sieve that grows around the dekel tree, that grows around the palm tree, and you soak it in water, nishafya, you rub it on the wound, v'nishake, and you give him to drink from that water that has the sieve that was soaked in it. Amar Rav Katina, Kalamachnas Bno Pachsim Ben Sheish, going back to teaching Torah to children, anyone who brings his child to learn Torah when he's less than 6 years old, Rotz Acharav Ve'ino Magir, you're going to be chasing after him, you're ultimately going to have to chase after him in order to feed him and in order to give him a medicine, in order to keep him healthy, and it's not going to help because he will be so weakened. The Torah is Mateshes Kol Chashal Adam. So if you start with the Torah, which is Mateshes Kol Chashal Adam, at too young of an age, it will weaken him. It weakens his constitution so much that you're never going to be able to provide him a full refuah. So others say no, it means that you give him a head start. The other children in the class are going to try to catch up to him, and they're never going to catch up to him because you can't compete with the gears of the Yankasa. Something that a person learned when they were young, you just can't compete with that. So no one's ever going to be able to catch up to him. And both Lashonos are correct. Chalish v'gamir, he's going to be weak, but he'll be very knowledgeable. Iba yisema, or another possibility is that the two lashonos are not reconcilable, but they're also not. They're reconcilable, but they're not. They don't apply simultaneously to the same child. Hadukachish, hadabarya. It depends. If the child is very weak, so then it would be a terrible idea to teach him when he's too young. But if he's a very healthy child, he's a very strong child, then you could teach him, and the other students are never going to catch up to him. So you really have to know, Chanoch l'Nar al Pi Darko. You have to know what that child is capable of. And now we move on to the fifth Takanas Usha. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Busha Iskinu Yisha Shemach Rabbi Nichse Malug B'Chayi Baila Umesa. If a woman sells her Nichse Malug while her husband is alive and then she dies, Habal Moti Miara Lukuchos. The Chomer Masakein that he's like a Lokeach in Nichse Ishto. When he marries his wife, he has a din like a Lokeach. So if she sold those Nichse Malug, he's able to be Motzi from the Kuchos. He could be motzi from the people who purchased that nichse malug. What are the nichse malug? Nichse malug are the nechassim that the woman owned before the nisun, before they got married, and after they get married, those nechassim are nichnas into the rishos habal, but only as far as the peros are concerned. That the gufa nechassim still belong to the woman, and the husband is ochel peros from that nichse malug. So now we're saying, but after she dies, when he's yoresher, so he has the right, he has a din like a lokeach to take it from the lekuchos. So Ashke, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the Rabbi Avo, Dava Koyibu, Chlusa Du Usha. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef saw Rabbi Avo standing in a place where people would gather in Usha. Sar Malay, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef asked Rabbi Avo, Man Mara Deshmaita Du Usha, who is the one who taught this Takanas Usha? Sar Malay, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. He said it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that taught it. So Tanamine Arbon Zimnin, he reviewed that 40 times. Vidamile Kamanda Mancha Libikiste. And then it was like he had it in his pocket. That teaching, because he reviewed it 40 times. The Achronim discussed, what did he review 40 times? That it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina? That's what he reviewed 40 times? Some of the Achronim, Aram Shiv says, yeah, that you get, it's very important to be Omer Dover B'Shem Amro. You need to know who said what. So he reviewed 40 times. Who exactly was the one that taught this? Others say, no, you're not going to review the name of the person. Once he heard it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, he was so enthralled to learn a halacha from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that he learned the halacha of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina 40 times. Aram Shiv has another ha'ar over here. He says it's manachle bekiste, not manachle bekufsa. Kufsa would mean like in the safe somewhere, that it's really safe. The kiste means in his pocket. The Gemara Masechta Matzias says Adamos in the mashmish bekiso bekolsha. Person's always checking his pocket. He's always checking his wallet. So to that extent, he had it in his pocket, but he had to keep going back every once in a while to review. Sometimes a person studies and they really pound something into their head and they study and they study and they study and they study. They take the exam and then they don't ever go back to it and they forget about it. But you have to go back to Chazar once in a while, even after. after a person put it in their head really strongly by chazring 40 times. So now the Gemara goes back to bring a drasha as far as whether there's a chiv to support your young children. Ashrei shomri mishma dosit tzedaka b'chal eis. So the Tehillim praises someone who does tzedaka b'chal eis. Chiyav shalas tzedaka b'chal eis. How could a person be doing tzedaka b'chal eis? So Darsh Rabbi Seinu Shabiyavna v'amrila Rabbi Lazar. Some say that it was Rabbi Eliezer, not the Rabbi Seinu Shabiyavna, Zazan, but of Benosuf Kshen Ketanim. That's a reference to supporting your children when they're young. So you're constantly supporting them, and it's a tzedaka. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Yomar, Zah Magadal Yasum v'Yisoma b'Soch Beisom Masiyan. No, if you raise the Yasum and Yisoma, that's really tzedaka b'chaleis, because your own children at certain points in their life, certainly when they're very, very young, you have a chiyuv to support them. But Magadal Yasum v'Yisoma, that's purely out of the goodness of your heart. So that's really tzedaka b'chaleis. So the Gemara brings another drasha on the pasuk in Tehillim relating to tzedaka. Hon va'osher b'veisom v'tzidkaso omedes la'ad. That a person that has tzedaka, the tzedaka that a person does, is always going to be there for the person. Ravun Rav Chista Chad Amar Zeh Lomi Torah Malamda, that this is, the pasuk is referring to someone who not only learns Torah but teaches Torah to Talmidim, that even though he's doing tzedakah with his Torah by sharing it with others, his own Torah is not going to be chaser. Tzidkaso kayemes la'ad, it's always going to be there. It's omedes la'ad, it's always going to be there for him. You might think that if he spends his time teaching others, he's not going to learn as much. And if he doesn't learn, he's not going to have as much of his own learning. And in that way, it's very similar to tzedakah, because we know by tzedakah, v'chanunina v'zos, v'harikosi l'cham bracha, that the pasuk in Malachi says that you're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah, that you give tzedakah, you're going to become wealthy. That you might think it's counterintuitive. You might think the more you give, the less you have. But it's part of the nature of tzedakah, that the more you give, the more you have. And in that way, Talmud Torah is the same. The more you give of your Torah, the more you're going to have. And some say, no, it's about actually writing Svarim and then lending out those Svarim to other people. So that way, all the Torah that's being learned, because you produced those Svarim, are going to be in your Zuchus. Then the Gemara Darshan's another pasuk. So I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Once a person is Zochet to see grandchildren, that there are banim levanecha, shalom al Yisrael. That's going to create a sense of shalom. Why? Now he knows that in his family there's not going to be chalitza and yibum, because the son had children. Once the son had children, so the brother's never going to have to marry the son's wife, the first brother's wife. Rav Shomar Nachmani Amar, kiven shabanim levanecha. When a person has banim levanecha, shalom al dayona Yisrael, that the dayona Yisrael are not going to have to deal with the Yerusha fights that go on, because it's going to be obvious that there are banim levanecha. And that's therefore where the Yerusha goes. So then we had said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Lazar had darshan in front of the Chachamim, that the Banim are Yoresh and the Banos are Yizonu. And therefore we make a comparison that just like the Banim are only Yoresh after Misas Ha'av, so too the Banos only get Mizonos after Misas Ha'av. That we compare the Takanas HaBen to the Takanas HaBas. So now the Gemara elaborates on that. Where else do we compare Takanas HaBen to Takanas HaBas? So yes, Rabbi Yosef comes. Rav Hamnuna, Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna v'kamra, k'shem she'ena banim yorshim ne'elim in a karka, just like banim only get Yerusha from the karka and not from metaltalin, kachina banos nizonos elim in a karka, so to the mizonos that the daughters get after the misa of the father, that from the nechasim of the Yerusha, it's only from the karka of the Yerusha. They don't get mizonos from the metaltalin of the Yerusha. Avishalei kuli almas, this shook the whole world. Everyone said, what are you talking about? They understood that Rav Hamnuna was talking by Estam Yerusha Midah Raisa. They didn't realize that this was about the Ksubas Bin and Dichrin. They thought they were talking about Estam Yerusha Midah Raisa that only applies to Karka and not to Metaltalin. The Shavik Ara, that someone who left land, who the Yarsi Lebani, that's when the children are going to get the Yerusha. To Lo Shavik Ara, Lo Yarsi Lebani. And if he didn't leave land, then the children are not going to get any Yerusha Midah Raisa, the Banim or Yoresh, all of the Nechasim of the father, Karka and Metaltalin. So what does he mean? He starts off a statement, Kishem Shaina Banim Yorshim Elevena Karka. Just like Banim are only Yorish Karka. What are you talking about? Banim are Yorish everything. They Yorish all the bank accounts. They Yorish every, all the Metaltalin. What do children do when Rachman Soma and the parents die? And they go to the parents' house and they start emptying it out. They start
start taking away whatever. I mean, they now have to take care of everything that's in the house because it's their responsibility because it all belongs to them now. So Rav Yosef, it didn't look super spin and different coming back. So he says, maybe he was talking about super spin and different. The Yerusha of the Banim in the Nichsei Aksuba of their mother that the Chacham were Mesakin that these Banim get. Maybe we're not talking about general Yerusha. General Yerusha in a Chinami, of course they get everything. So Amalei, so Rav Amnuna said, Mar de Gavri Rabu who yad my kamina. Finally, I have one Talmud who understands what I'm talking about. Right? That he understood that obviously I was referring to Ksubas Ben Dichrin. I wasn't talking about Yerusha in general. Amar B'chia Bar Yosef, Rav Zon Mechiti Dalia. Once Rav had a Yesoma that the father didn't leave any karka and she needed Mizonos, so Rav Paskin that the chitim that they kept in the Aliyah were should be used to support her. Meaning, he took metaltal and supported her with it. So he bailu, so they weren't sure. Parnasa Havya, is it that this money was for the Parnasa of the Nadunya, and that's what they were going from Metaltalin? Umay Aliyah, and when it says that he gave from the Chitim the Aliyah, means Me'iluya Da'av, based on an assessment of what the father would have wanted. Ukad Shmuel, Dam Shmuel, the Parnasa Shamin Ba'av, and that's aligned with what Shmuel taught, that when it comes to the Parnasa of the daughters, you have to assess what the father would want to give for the Nadunya of the daughter. Meaning, Parnasa means she's going to get married, she needs to bring in a dowry, she needs to bring in a dunya. Father's not alive anymore. So we have to figure out, given that the father's estate has X amount of money, what would he want the daughter to have? And that maybe that's what happened over here when it says that Rav gave from the Chiti Da'aliyah, Odilmor, maybe no, maybe Mizoni Mamishava. Maybe we're actually referring to the Takana of Mizonos, that the daughters get Mizonos. And it's even though tonight Ksuba is like the Ksuba itself, and the Ksuba itself is only Nigvas Minakarka, and not from Metaltalin. Nevertheless, Rav decided to pay from Metaltalin because my Aliyah, what does it mean by Aliyah? Midvarim Tov Mishnemru ba'Aliyah. This was based on those good things that were taught in the Aliyah when the Chacham got together. Dam Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef ba'Aliyah iskinu shibanos nesonos min Metaltalin. That they made a new takan in the Aliyah that the banos can get from Metaltalin, unlike what Rav Yosef had said in front of Rav Hamnuna, that they made a new takana that Rav Hamnuna had said that banos can get from Metaltalin. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya that Rav actually gave from Metaltalin for the Mizonos Mamish, and it wasn't just for Parnasa for Nadunya. Tashma, Biyadi Rabbi Benaya, Chud Rabbi Chia Baraba, Havu Metaltalin Diasmi. The Rabbi Benaya, the brother of Rabbi Chia, had Metaltalin of Yisomim that were in his control. Also, the Kamei de Shmuel, so the Yisomos came to Shmuel to receive some of that Metaltalin. Samalei, Shmuel said to Rabbi Benaya, Zilzon, go and write a check, go give from the Metaltalin. So, my love, the Mizoni, doesn't that mean for their Mizoni? Because Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, like we just learned, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the Aliyah, they were misakin that they're mizonos min hatatulin. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. So it says more low. No, that's not correct. Hasam leparnasa. When Shmuel told him to give from the tatulin, it was for the nedunya leparnasa avayi. Ushmuel tamei damer Shmuel leparnasa shaman ba'av. When it comes to parnasa, we have to. When it comes to figuring out what the nedunya is going to be, we have to assess what would the father have wanted, and that's exactly what we did. So now the Gemara brings several Amoraim and how they behaved in these kinds of cases. What did they do? Did they provide Mizonos from Metaltalin or not? So Avu Uvda bin Arda, there was a story, a guy died in Arda, he didn't leave any karka, so the daughters wanted Mizonos and they wanted to collect from the Metaltalin. V'don dayne bin Arda, and then the Dayana bin Arda allowed the girls to collect from the Metaltalin, and Pumbedisa v'agvir Rechana Barbizna. And same thing happened in Pumbedisa and Rechana Barbizna allowed the daughters to get the mizonos from the Metaltalin. So Amalur of Nachman, Zila Hadru of Nachman told those Dayanim, go and reverse your judgment and return the Metaltalin to the Yisomim. V'ilo, and if you don't reverse your judgment, Magvina Luchula Penayimineichu, I'm going to collect from you your own clothing to pay off what you owe these sons. Because Rav Nachman holds like Rav Amnuna that we do not collect for banos from Metaltalin, only from Karka. Rav Ami and Rav Asi wanted to provide daughters with mizonos from the Metaltalin, like Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said they made this takana in the Aliyah to do so. So Amul Rabbi Yaakov Baridi Milsad Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Lo Avdi Ba Uvda Atun Avdin Ba Uvda. Something that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who were the most chashva amuraim in all of Bavel, they didn't do such a behavior to collect for banos from Metaltalin, and you're going to be the one that collects Metaltalin for the banos. Rabbi Lazar Savor Lemezim Metaltalin. Rabbi Lazar also wanted wanted to provide Natal to Nirmal in front of Rabbi Shimon and Yaakim. Rabbi Yodani Bukhashain me decidina tosa. I know that you don't hold that this is the halacha. El midas rachmanus. It's just that you're having the rachmanus on these girls. Ella shami yiru atalmidim yikva halacha ledoros. So I know that you're trying to do lefnimi shuras adin, but you have to be careful. The talmidim will see and they're going to think that this is the din. Who does the kaved Rav Yosef? Someone came to Rav Yosef about a yisoma that wanted mizonos. Amalu havelu mitamri dal budya. Bring from the tamarim that were collected from the trees and are now on the mat that where they collect all the tamarim. So Amalu Abayi ilu bal chov hava. Even if the toveh was a bal chov who's able to collect even from the lekuchos ki ayavna miavi yavle mar. Would you give the metaltalin to them? So how can you give these metaltalin? Amalu dechazi lebudi kamine. He says I'm not saying that you should give the tamarim that are already picked off the tree. I'm saying the tamarim that are ready to be picked off the tree. So says Mar, but sof kolomi b'gzos kagazos dami. Isn't anything that's ready to be picked off the tree considered as if it's already picked off the tree and therefore it's metalton? No, the tzrich l'dikla kamina. I'm only saying the stuff that's not quite ready to be picked off the tree and therefore it has a din of karka, and that's what you could provide the daughters with. Okay, so tomorrow I'll pick up the two dots on the top of Nun Aleph Amid Aleph.